Welcome, everybody. Okay. Hi. Yes. Hi, Christina. I see you. Hi, Carol. And hi, Anne. Welcome. Welcome. Hi, Donna, my little darling Donna Johnson. Can you make sure that you show Frost, like get Frost? Can you put him in the your little cat? I would love to see him. Yeah, he's adorable. Welcome, everyone. Here we are for the follow-up Zoom around clutter clearing or clutter-free living in the wisdom years, which is a really important thing in our wisdom years for sure. I'm just letting everybody get on, and then we will get started. Let me just say right up front that, as I said last week, that I ha am going to have Terry choose five people from the chat to as far as the clutter-free game. I'm going to have you go ahead and just put just a brief few lines about what you were able to accomplish between last week and today, and then Terry will go through after the event. Oh, thank you, Donna. I see your little cat there. Hi, Frost. Oh, hi. Excuse me. Hi, Frost. He looked up at me for a minute. I thought he could hear me. Anyway, thanks, Donna.
Sure, I'll have them include their email too.
Oh yes.
Awesome.
Last week I had suggested that we play a game, and we have you list just in a few lines what it is you accomplished between last week and this week. Please include your email list, email name, so that Terry can go ahead and contact you directly. I'm going to hold the group coaching session on Monday at noontime Eastern. So hopefully those of you that get chosen can make it that day. I just figured it's much easier than trying to coordinate with a bunch of people. Those are the kinds of things I don't do in my wisdom years anymore. Like, I'm all about ease, and I invite all of you to be about ease too. So I thought Monday at noontime would kind of cover the East and the West Coast. Terry will choose you. She'll email you directly, letting you know that you've been chosen. And I trust Terry's intuition and her good heart. She's going to choose. I have no doubt that she's going to choose the people that are going to be perfect for the group coaching. And for that group coaching, we can continue to talk about clutter and, or wanting to just remove stuff from your life. Because last week, I want to just review a few things. And again, feel free to put your email address and whatever you have accomplished since last week in the chat while I start out here. And then I'm going to open it up to hear some of your successes, how it felt to succeed. And then we'll look at any challenges that you're faced with, because your challenge always helps everybody else here as well, I have no doubt. So I want to remind you of a few things from the last Zoom. Your environment plays a key role in improving and extending your health and your longevity. Remember, we talked about epigenetics last week, the fact that your environment, both the environment of your body and the environment in which you operate in the world, your physical environment, your relationships, the thoughts you think, the beliefs that you hold, all of those things are part of your environment, and your genes turn on and off in response to what's happening in your environment globally. So this is really important. This isn't just a nice thing to do to get rid of clutter. It's actually vital for your emotional, physical, and spiritual health. Some of you probably already have experienced that just in the last week. You will have to confront some fear when you're eliminating clutter, and maybe some unprocessed emotions, some discomfort, some kind of angst about, oh, I don't know if I can let go of this. It's too valuable. It belonged to my mother or my father or a family member or a dear friend. I don't know what to do with it. It doesn't feel right to let go of photos. Like, all of those beliefs are going to come up and get in the way of you releasing clutter from your life. That's normal. I say mine for gold. In those situations, when you feel really stuck about letting go of something, it's a great time to sit down with a pad of paper and a pen and just write about how you feel. And one of the ways you can do that is you can start, if I think in terms of internal family systems work, you can start by just writing, a part of me feels blank, whatever it might be about this clutter. A part of me feels really bad bringing expensive items to a thrift store or donating expensive items. A part of me feels really guilty about letting go of these items that were so important to my mother who has passed on and my father who's passed on. A part of me is afraid I'm going to need it again. And then what will I do? God forbid I give something away and then regret it. Right. And we talked a little bit about that last week, how we learn to host regret in order to give ourselves the gift of clutter-free living in our wisdom years. So you can use writing as a way to mine for gold. Like where you feel stuck is always an indication that something needs to be sort of looked at more deeply. And that's a great thing. That's actually a really good thing. And then sometimes you just have to take the plunge, much like I talked about cold plunging. Sometimes you just have to say, you know what? This has been, I love it. Somebody wrote to me and said that they had had items in a storage unit for a long time, had gone back, looked in that storage unit, noticed that there was nothing there that, like, she didn't miss anything. I myself have a small storage unit filled with stuff. We're in the middle of doing construction, and we had to clean out our garage, and everything went into storage. I can barely tell you what's in that storage bin. Like, I know there's a big table that I liked, and I might be able to use it. I know there's a grandmother's clock that I don't want anymore, but it's big, and I have to figure out how to let it go. But I almost do feel like this woman said in her email, I basically just thought, I haven't missed any of the stuff in this storage bin. I just need to let it go. And for some people, you can go ahead and call, a secondhand shop or Goodwill, or and they'll come and just clean the storage bin out for you, right? So sometimes you just have to take the plunge and sit with the discomfort after you've let something go. The other thing I wanted to just say a little bit about is the importance of planning for relapses. Now, what does that mean? It means that when you clear clutter out, how are you going to make sure it doesn't come back in again? Like, this is something really important to think about. I was talking to a couple of my girlfriends about it. One of my friends said, you know, every time my family and I have somebody come to visit, you know, we'll run around the house, we'll do a cleanup, and there's one closet where everything gets thrown in that closet just so that the space is clear before the guests come. We probably all have done something like that, right? That's my pantry is my place. And she said, you know, and then it just sits there forever. And I said to her, well, let's talk about what could you do to plan to deal with that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with designating a place that will hold some of the things that you naturally keep around your house when you have guests, as long as you schedule with your family once a month to go to that space and clear out whatever's there. And when you're clearing it out, looking at what you're keeping through the lens of, do we really love or need this? So that we make sure that whatever we take out and put back into the home is something we actually want. My friend Susan said that she loves a clean and organized space. And her idea was to take photographs. She's also a great photographer, to take photographs of the space that she has cleaned out or organized and put it in like a photo library on her phone. And when she, and just revisit that once a week, especially in the beginning or once a month, to be inspired, to be reminded of how good it feels to no longer have stuff that you don't want or need or absolutely love. I think that's a smart idea too. Don't say yes to taking more things from other people. Remember, I think I told you all last week that my friends and I are all trying to pare down. And what sucks about it is I can't give away anything to them. Everybody keeps saying, yeah, no, thank you, but I'm trying to pare down too. But there are always opportunities for us to take more things in. And you really want to ask yourself, do I absolutely need this? Like, will I use it today or tomorrow? Do I really love it? Or am I falling in love with the potential of it? Remember last week we talked about, I eat a lot of salads, and somebody's offering me another salad spinner. I already have one. Oh, but it would be really good to have another one just in case that first one breaks. No. You have to ask, we have to get in the habit of asking ourselves, is this item worth up? Worth up? Is this item worth taking up space in my life and in my head? Because remember, ultimately, it's going to be a part of what drains your energy. So get really good at assessing whether or not you're going to say yes to anything that's being offered you. And stop settling for good. Instead, pass up good for great. I've said that for years. The older we get, the more valid that becomes. If it's not an absolute yes, a piece of clothing, like if you don't see a piece of clothing that a friend offers to you and you think, oh my God, I love that. I love the color. I love the style. I want to try it on right now. It's probably a no. And it's just going to sit in your closet. So let it go to somebody who would really love it and benefit from it. So I talked about, is this worthy of space in my life? And one of the things I get in the habit of doing is anytime I get mail, I go right to the recycling bin. And I go through the mail immediately. I recycle everything I don't need, including all the envelopes. Well, not that there's a lot anymore, but the envelopes around bills or whatever. I put everything into recycling. And the only thing that goes into my office are pieces of paper that I actually have to do something with. excuse me. I keep a box in our front hall closet. I mentioned that as well. And anytime I see something around the house, or I'm in a closet and I see something that I haven't used in a long time or I don't love, I take it out, I put it in that box. I can't see the box. I can't see what's in the box because it's in a closet. And when I'm ready to go to a thrift store or Goodwill or whatever, I just take the whole box out, put it in my car, bring it, empty out the box into their bins, and then bring the box home. Someday there will be. Already, there are very few things in that box because I've really been kind of religiously getting rid of things. And I did want to just say, tell you one little story before we open it up. It's a story I've told for years, but it's always stayed with me. Many, many years ago, I was coaching a woman who had come to me because she felt the energy drain of the clutter in her house. She talked about how she had boxes of unopened stuff in one of the guest rooms of her home, and it had been there for a long time. And so she wanted to work with me on going through those boxes. So we talked about it. We talked about, the old start with something small, start with a small amount of time. It's all you're going to do is, 15, 20 minutes, or as my sister Carrie, the clutter expert, talks about doing Pomodoro rounds, which are 25-minute rounds where you set a timer. You only work for 25 minutes and you stop at the end of 25 minutes and give yourself a reward or do something like you don't continue, give yourself a break. You can go back to it if you're inspired, but give yourself a break so that both your mind and the little kids inside of you know you're not going to push them beyond what they want to do. So, I tried some of that with this woman. She came back the next coaching call saying, yeah, I got halfway through a box, but then it was just overwhelming and I closed it and didn't bother. The third coaching call, she came back and she hadn't even gone into the room. Now, as a coach, when somebody is not able to take action on something, I start to dig deeper because now I'm also listening through the filter of, is there a therapy issue here versus a coaching issue? Because coaching is about taking action. It's not about talking, storytelling, processing. I mean, obviously you do some processing, but it really is action oriented. That's what coaching should be. What are you trying to accomplish, and how am I going to help you do that? She was having a really hard time. And so I remember distinctly where I was. I wasn't living in the house that I'm in now. When I was talking to her, we were on the phone. And I said to her, give me just a minute. I closed my eyes and I just sort of tuned in because I thought, I feel really stuck. I don't know what to tell this woman. And within a couple of minutes, it occurred to me, I said to her, do me a favor. This week, I want you to find a time where you're going to be uninterrupted. And I want you to go into that room And I want you to buy yourself a bag of little tea light candles, you know, the tiny candles. I said, I want you to go into this room. I want you to put little tea lights around the boxes, light them, sit quietly, and ask yourself, you know, just ask the boxes as you sit quietly, get into sort of a meditative state. What are you trying to tell me? What message do you have for me that I'm not hearing? And she thought I was a little nuts. I know it sounded a little strange, but I trust my intuition, certainly even more so as I get older. And the next week, she came to the call and said to me, "You're not going to believe what happened." And I said, "What?" And she said, "Well, I did exactly what you said. I lit the candles around the boxes. I sat in the room in the dark with the candles lit and a pad of paper and a pen." And she said, "I sat there thinking, this is ridiculous. I feel like an idiot. I'm so glad nobody can see me. I don't know what the heck's going on here." She said, "But then I started saying to these boxes, what are you trying to tell me? You know, what is it? Why aren't you leaving? What do I need to know?" And she said, "All of a sudden I heard in these boxes are the notes for a book you long to write. And unless you start writing, we're not going anywhere," which was really interesting. So when she shared that with me, I said to her, "This is great. This isn't about the boxes. So now we're not even going to focus on that. Instead, we're now going to focus on your writing." And the assignment was for her to begin writing. We talked about the ideas that she had, the book that she thought she wanted to write, why this was important to her. And we set up a writing schedule. And in about 9 months, this woman had the outline for a book done. And about three quarters of the boxes were emptied and gone. And I never forgot that. So some of you might want to light some tea candles around some of your clutter, because there is something important to be understood. It might be, you know, as we spoke about last week, that you've got a whole bunch of your dad's stuff in the attic. And when you light a few candles, be very careful with the candles, please. When you light a few candles, you might discover that there's a piece of grief that you have not addressed yet that needs your time and attention. And you know, sometimes we need to complete things before we can actually let go of the physical stuff connected to those things. So anyway, and then I just want to say, when it comes to preventing relapse, right, really looking at what systems do I need to put into place. You want again th you want to be thinking about automaticity. How can I create regular habits? Like, it is a habit for me to come home from the post office, go to the recycling bin in my kitchen, open everything up, and get rid of it. You know, get rid of any. It's just a habit. It's automatic. I don't think about it. My body automatically does that. And it took some time, but it became this automatic habit. And so, what are going to be your, it could be that your automatic habit is once a week, you just scan your house or you scan your bedroom, or, you know, 1 week you scan your bedroom, 1 week you scan your kitchen, whatever it might be, your living room, for things that you know it's time to let go of. The things that are most precious to you that you just don't even look at anymore might be something really, might turn out to be a beautiful gift for someone you know. I have a set of antique Limoges china that I received from my friend Lucy, who died in 1991. So I've had that set ever since. I use it every day. Some of them I use as cat dishes. I feed my cats off of them. They're so beautiful. Some of them are chipped, and every now and then I have to throw one away because it's too chipped. But I swear to you, I think of her every single time I use those dishes. My friend Eileen, who died, was huge on mugs, and she had custom mugs made for Michael and I, that one that said Queen on it, because that was my nickname from her, one that said Soul Sister. And those things are precious. I would never let go of them. But behind those mugs are a whole bunch of other mugs that I don't gravitate towards. I mean, I keep thinking, like, why am I holding on to 25 mugs? Am I ever going to have 20 people over for tea at once? Not likely. I don't like big groups, big crowds, right? So, you know, going through the things and knowing that, oh, I used to love this mug, and knowing what it means to have something that you use every day from someone you love, I may very well just give one of those to a dear friend or a family member. Okay. Those are my notes for this week. And let me just see. I'm going to look in the chat real quick and let's just see. I'm just looking to see what you all wrote here in terms of your successes, which is great. I love this. Victoria says, my son was having his wisdom teeth out. The dental assistant complimented me on a shirt I was wearing at a previous appointment. I love this shirt. So I gifted the shirt to them and said, and they said, thank you once again for the shirt. It was beyond kind and I appreciate it. My son is healing well. Also, while cleaning up my closet, to find said shirt, I bagged up two garbage bags and donated them. Thank you to Terry and Cheryl for all that you do. That's great. I love that. Yeah, you know, when you make clutter clearing, remember this is a really important act of self-care in your wisdom years. You will be thinking of people that you can give things to as you go along, which is great. Okay, I'm going to totally read through all of your chats. Terry's going to remove all the emails and we'll post the chat on our website along with the Zoom recording in the next day or two. So you can, I encourage you all to go back and read through some of the successes. And we'll look at a few more of them too as we go along. But let's start by asking you, let's hear from a couple of people that are just really proud of what you were able to accomplish over the last week. Let's celebrate your success with you. Anybody? You can raise your physical hand. Well, don't raise your physical hand because there's too many people here. But yes. Hey, Donna, nice to see you. There you are.
Nice to see you too.
Yeah.
So I decided to tackle my bedroom. I was in the middle of decluttering things and I got stuck and I looked around after last week and I had a bag full of stuff that was going to the thrift store. I had a bag full of trash, or actually a big wicker thing full of trash. And embarrassing enough as it is to admit, the accent wall behind my bed had spackle and all this, and it had been like that for years. I just never got around to painting it. I actually have a gallon of paint that I never opened to paint the damn wall. So I decided that my bedroom was going to be my task. And I had also been watching a podcast, and they were talking about detoxifying your sleeping space, talking more about chemicals and volatile things in paint, linens, bedding, etc. And then I looked at this as a expanding on the detoxification
Yeah.
with all of the stuff. So
Right.
I actually took a video before I started, and I just looked at it before, and I'm like, oh my God, this was awful. And I just half an hour ago finished painting the accent wall. I was determined to be done before this call. And oh my God, I just snapped a few photos too, and I looked at them down here, and oh my God, it's like it's peaceful. I didn't get the artwork on the walls yet. That's next, but I'm just like I'm tickled to death, and I can't wait to go to bed tonight because I just really think it's going to make such a difference.
I love it. I love it. And so, have you gotten rid of the bags of stuff that were in the room too?
Oh yes.
Oh, great.
Oh yeah, that's all gone
Yeah.
out.
So
Yeah.
you know this, Donna, because you've been with me a long time. In coaching, we call that's unspackled wall or that unpainted wall a toleration. And one of the things that happens that Donna's speaking to is as we start to improve our environment by letting go of clutter, we naturally want to go to the next step and enhance the beauty of that environment. Sometimes the beauty is just the space that we create, without a doubt. But little things like that will happen, like, oh, wow. And honestly, Donna, I have one spot next to a new thermostat that was put in our bedroom that has needed to be painted for probably 3 years. And now you've just inspired me to go and do that this week. But that's a great example of continuing on. And the fact that you look forward to going to bed, I promise you're going to sleep better, without a doubt.
Can't wait.
That's awesome. Thanks so much. Good to see you, Donna. Hi, Renee. Welcome.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
It's so good to be with you again.
Thank you. Thank you. So tell us about your success.
So mine was also in my main bedroom. And I have way too many clothes from way too many years. I'm in my wisdom years moving into retirement, so it's a big life change, and we need to downsize our house. And so I have gotten rid of clothes that I've had for 25 years, at least, from my career days. And it just feels so much cleaner and better. And every time I walk by my dresser, I just, whew,
Yes.
and did some work in my husband's closet and as well as my own. And it's been just tremendous. And then I got going and got my dining room done too. So it's just, the success kind of builds on itself, right?
I mean, that's the other thing that's I want to just say that's really important, and some of you probably have already experienced this, the momentum that comes from taking action. Right. All of a sudden, you realize how good you feel. And the next thing you know, you want to keep that good feeling going. And so you continue, you just feel motivated to keep going, which is great. So I love that. And also, Renee, you bring up an important point, which is some of us will notice, particularly as we enter our wisdom years, that the things that we tackle, like old clothes, are going to also cause us to revisit old identities. Who was I 25 years ago? You're not the same person you were 25 years ago. What were the styles back then? What was important to you? What are the pieces of clothing that you have a hard time letting go of? And what do they represent? Is there something about the time where those pieces of clothing came from that is still calling at you? Or are there elements of that time that you want to incorporate more into your present day? I mean, that's actually very possible. So, thank you very much, Renee. That's great. And congratulations on your success. I think that's awesome. All right. Let's see. Rhonda. Hey, Rhonda, welcome.
Hi. Well, I listened to everything you said, and I actually believe I read in one of your books about the tea lights and sitting with the stuff.
Yes.
So I spent several hours walking around and looking at all the stuff and reorganizing it so I could just see, like, with crafts, I have 10 books on how to draw and 4 books on how to use acrylics, and I have all the acrylics, and then the same with the kitchen and everything. And I just started to realize how much, it's like, really, even though my house is pretty well organized, really, like, layers and layers and layers of really basically the same type of stuff. And I think, some of it is being a lawyer. I'm just approach everything the same way as a legal project. You research it, you buy all the equipment. You jump into it, but I think what this stuff was really saying, now that I listen to everybody, is that I want to be more spontaneous. I really don't want to be prepared anymore. And I want to get rid of, like, the scarcity thinking of, like, if I don't have everything assembled beforehand, I might not be able to find it. And really that I don't need to be an expert. So I did get rid of a bunch of things, and that allowed me to see that I already had, even with getting rid of them, I still had plenty to do
Yes.
the same things that maybe I really would like to do.
Thank you, Rhonda. So again, what I would say about that too is a couple of things, and I think we talked about this last week. Pay attention to how we live in the future, right? What I might do. I think what you said about being a lawyer, I mean, of course, in law, you're supposed to hang on to everything, right? You don't get rid of anything. That training is pretty systemic and deep, so it's important to look at that. What if you weren't an expert? Or what if you allowed yourself to just try doing something without the, there's an opportunity in our wisdom years. One of the greatest opportunities we have is to express the unexpressed parts of us that haven't had a chance to live, that haven't had a chance to be expressed in our lives. Rhonda, you're saying that beautifully when you talk about. These are my words, not yours, but I've been a lawyer. I've been regimented. There's a process that you use in order to do something, even something enjoyable. And instead, really, what I hear you saying is the part of you that wants to be playful, joyful, spontaneous, relaxed,
Ha ha ha.
at ease is saying, please pay attention to me. Please give me some space to be able to do that. And so that you could see, just a month ago, I had a whole bunch of art supplies. Same thing, Rhonda. Inside me is a painter who wanted to paint. You know what? For me, I'm never going to paint. I'm learning piano. I'm a writer. Like, I'm just never going to paint. So clearly, there's a creative person in me that wants to express herself. I need to be doing that. But I gave all of these beautiful paints and pastels to a young woman I know who's a very good artist, doesn't have a lot of money, and will put all of it to good use. There are people like that. FreeCycle is a great place to find those people. All of my paint, like all of the paint samples that we used for our garage, I gave to an artist neighbor, because and she was thrilled. So like, you can give away some of these things and instead begin to look at, how am I going to express my spontaneity and my ease and my relaxation and my playfulness in life without having to have all the accoutrements, right? I can just actually be more spontaneous, and that will continue to happen. The other thing I want to say that's important here is when Rhonda talks about layers, start with just the top layer. The minute you think beyond one small spot, you'll overwhelm yourself and the chances of taking action become less and less. So for all of you, just start, like, listen to some of the successes we heard already. I did this one thing and it inspired me to do the next thing. And then I was inspired to do the next thing. So just, Rhonda, one small spot is where you want to begin. And it might even be that the place you begin is finding some really grateful human being who would love your art supplies, because that could be very inspiring for sure. All right, thank you. One more, Susie, welcome. Hi, Susie.
Hi. Thank you
Hi.
so much, Cheryl, for hosting these Zooms. You
Very
just are
welcome.
such an inspiration. You know what? For the last 3 years, I have been wanting to let go of an antique bedroom set that came from my great grandmother's barn. When I was 20, I refinished it. And, as my husband and I moved a lot, it got dinged and scratched. And, the room that it's been in is this room I'm in right now, and it's small, and it was too big for the room. And I would decide to let it go, and then I wouldn't do it. I didn't have the courage until you last week said, just do it. And the best way for me to let go of things is we live rurally on a country road, just put it out by the side of the road with a free sign. And usually that day, somebody will take it. And this morning, I woke up and my husband and I took it to the road. And I went to a noon meeting, and when I came back, it was gone.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
So this just happened about 2 o'clock today.
Wow.
It's been
Wow.
raining here, so I hadn't been able to do it until today. And the couple that got it, refinished furniture. They live locally in the little village where I'm at, and they resell these things. So, it was just the timing was perfect. I have a lot of grief about it. The bed made me feel safe. It was big and bulky, and I felt small and cozy in it. But we're too, my husband and I are getting too old to do that. It's heavy, heavy. Didn't, you know, I've known. I just didn't have the courage to do it until. This Zoom meeting and your prompts, and I knew it was the right thing to do. So it
So,
just, the timing just amazes me of this beautiful couple that got it.
yes, I
That's
was.
what the miracle is.
Somebody's
I'm
gonna.
also downsizing my gardens. A lot of them came from my mother and my grandmother's house. But I can't take care of it all anymore. And I want to enjoy what I have. I don't want it to be a burden, and it's gotten to be too much. So I have like two different things going on, this great relief and joy that somebody got it, and then this sadness that I'm like shut, closing this chapter, kind of.
So please, please,
Thank
please,
you.
Susie, honor the sadness. I think I've said this before, and I'll say it a million times later, but And one of the things we need to do is really kind of ritualize the grief that comes up when we say goodbye. So, for example, it could be that you, write a letter to the bedroom set in a journal, or you schedule time, coffee or a glass of wine with a friend, and you talk about all the things that you loved about this bedroom set. It could also be that you decide, how am I going to create? Hold on. How am I going to create a sense of safety and cocooning in my current life now? Like, really thinking, giving that true attention, Susie, like both of those things. How will I honor? Like, what does that bedroom set mean to me and the energy that I put into it? Because you put energy into it, right? How will I honor that in a very intentional way? And then, how will I take the gifts of that item and integrate it into my current life in some way? I think those things are really beautiful. And wow, I'm so happy for you that you, I mean, it's a big deal. And there will come a time, and it will be sooner than you think, especially if we truly honor the grief. What will happen is, sooner than you think, there'll come a time where you'll walk into that room and you'll just beam. You'll think, oh, because we don't just give away our stuff. We give away the energy that's attached to that stuff. And the energy attached to our stuff is old. It's outdated. It doesn't mean there aren't good memories, but it's behind us. It's behind us. And if we hang on to the things that are behind us, we can't live fully present in where we are today. That's just a fact. So, anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I'm really proud of you. Good job. Good job. All right. I'm going to take a couple minutes here. Let's just look at the chat to see what people have put in. Bev says, since most of my office is boxes of family tree stuff, I spent part of every day on that. This will take a long time. By the way, there was an article in the newspaper emphasizing what Cheryl told us about clutter. Yeah, because the universe just like hears the conversation and says, okay, let's start reinforcing what's going on here by like bringing up stuff like that. Don't focus on how long it's going to take you, Bev. Only put your energy on the one thing you're going to do today. And I mean, this is the other interesting thing about stuff that I think has a kind of, it needs to be talked about when we think of it through the lens of wisdom ears, our wisdom ears, right? And it's a tender thing to talk about, but just like with photographs, when I went through photographs, I got rid of every photograph that was just a bad photograph. I had a girlfriend of mine years ago who used to say, I never ever keep photographs of people that aren't flattering. If they're unflattering, I get rid of them. That's my gift to the people I love. And I loved that. So as I got rid of photographs, I separated them out. I gave to my family, my siblings, the photographs that were related to their family. And then there was a point where I had to say, Cheryl, sweetheart, now I don't have children. Some of you, obviously, a lot of you do. But Cheryl, you need to just let some things go. Your essence, your consciousness will live on through eternity. It won't live on through things. And many of us link our stuff to our essence with the desire for, I mean, we end up, here's what I want to say, we end up having to confront mortality and what's left behind. Remember, I can't remember when I spoke about this, but it first started happening when my friend Debbie Ford died, and I realized within 2 weeks, life went on. Most people just went on about their lives. When my father died, same thing. He was larger than life in the community. Everybody came to the wake and funeral, then life went on. My mother, we certainly, she hasn't been gone that long. We keep her alive in my family, but life goes on. And how people touched us in the experience of our interactions with them is the thing that I think is lasting. Yes, there are some items for sure, like my mother's teacup, like, Lucy's Limoges china. But we have to be willing to acknowledge the fact that when we're gone, people move on. And we don't want to hand over our stuff to the next generation. Better to do it now. I mean, if you're going to go through photos or you have artwork that you think your kids might want, give it to them while you're alive. Don't leave them in boxes, in the basement, 70, 75 boxes that your kids have to go through. There is a certain amount of our mortality that we're faced with. And one of the things that Renee was talking about, I'm paring down my garden. What another example, right? You don't think about that till you get into your wisdom years. I can't take care of, I'm making this up, 100 square feet. I only want to take care of 25 square feet. Or physically, I can't manage a large garden anymore. So what happens when we're paring down? Not only do we have to think about letting go and saying goodbye to half the garden, but we have to confront our mortality and the fact that we don't, and our aging bodies, which won't have the same abilities that they had when we were 30 or 40 years old. That's just a fact. They can be very mobile and strong and able when we take good care of ourselves. So you can increase your chances of having good, strong mobility later on. But I guess I just want to bring up this conversation about how, we end up, I think about it in terms of family tree stuff. Your family tree may not matter to the people, the generations that come after you. Like, that's a hard thing to confront, but that could very well be the case. So all the boxes of family tree stuff, you need to ask the people in your life whether or not they're interested. And if they're not, get that stuff out of your life so that you can enjoy the remaining years that you have. That's my two cents. Okay. Yeah, see, this is another good example. Melissa says, cleared out clutter and focused on beauty and making a sanctuary in my home. Our peonies are blooming. I love peonies. And I created a beautiful arrangement using a special vase instead of grabbing one from the florist. Yes, two things that happen. We want to create more beauty when we eliminate clutter, and we get to appreciate the fewer fine things, the finer, fewer things than. And we don't have to go through a million vases. We've got five that we absolutely love that are beautiful and that we use all the time, and we can just get rid of the rest. I think that's important. Okay. Let's hear from some people who might be struggling with letting go of clutter, or maybe got stuck at some point and needed some help. So, Diane, let's see what happened here. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Thank you. This has been so timely. So I have a husband with dementia, and I'm having to give up my coaching business. And so the win was last week. I changed from one, sort of back office vendor to another to simplify. So I got rid of a lot of things. And just like you, when you wrote about, how hard it was to just get rid of the notes from all the seminars on health, dementia, entrepreneurship. But I did a lot of that. I got rid of especially a whole course on that. And I have to say, I didn't feel the freedom yet. I am still struggling with it. And my question is about at some point my husband will be gone, or at least, just sort of, he will be gone. And there are parts of me, especially as I was going through some things, that are like, I don't know if I should give this up because I can maybe get back to it. How do I deal with, like, how do I think about that?
Yeah, there's a few things. First of all, I'm so sorry that you are, needing to be there to be a caregiver for a husband with dementia. That's a really hard job, one I know intimately. And so I have a lot of empathy for you. And I hope that you have support around you, people that can support you.
I
I think
do,
good.
thankfully. Very, two great kids and support groups. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. I think, this brings up another great point, Diane, which is, what is retirement anyway? Whether it's a forced retirement or a chosen retirement. I mean, I think those of us who are interested in growing and evolving are always going to be growing and evolving. And how long have you been coaching, Diane?
15 years.
Okay, great. So here's what I would challenge you to, a way that I would challenge you to think about this. Sorry, I'm getting over allergies. You've been coaching a long time and you've amassed a lot of wisdom, I have no doubt. And this experience with your husband and dementia is also giving you a kind of wisdom that you might not be aware of yet fully. What if you were to get rid of all those notes and everything and trusted that if and when you decide to go back to coaching, which you can absolutely do, you are going to be a wisdom coach. Rely on any paperwork, any courses, anything you've done, you're actually going to rely on the wisdom that you've accumulated over the last 15 years. That's a long time to be coaching.
That feels really good, Cheryl.
Good. And Diane, to the point where I want you, let me just say this as an aside. When I was getting rid of all of my coaching curriculum from Coach U, which was a 3-year program way back when, I actually gave some of that to new coaches
Oh,
as a gift for them to like learn from my material, right? I kept a stack of index cards about this big with notes from my coach, Thomas Leonard, that were brilliant notes. That's the only thing I kept. And when you decide to get rid of that stuff, Diane, whether you give it away or shred it or, recycle it, I want you to celebrate that process of letting go, knowing that every sheet of paper you get rid of is a vote for the wisdom you've amassed over the last 15 years.
Okay.
And
Yeah.
here's what I promise you, this is what I know for sure that you don't know yet. Getting rid of all of that paperwork is going to unlock wisdom in you that cannot be realized because of all the paperwork you're holding on to.
Oh, yeah. Well, interestingly enough, before I was a coach, I was an author and publishing coach, and so I have published, traditionally published 11 books. And so, in going through this, it's like I already knew I had a book in me that I needed to start writing a book about my current experience. So, what you're saying is just kind of like, I love what you said about celebrating and letting go that piece of it, because I'm very sure that I don't have, we talk about the nervous system and all that. I don't have the capacity right now to hold space for other people's and their problems in the coaching, But I do have space to express.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Again,
So.
this is the perfect time. You might decide to go back to coaching. I did. I decided to just work with a handful of clients pro bono because I missed it. And then some, but yes, not on an ongoing basis. It's like once a month kind of thing because I don't want that ongoing. And at some point I'll stop again and maybe go back to it again. You can do that all you want. Let's just get rid of all that old paperwork that no longer represents who you are. It's already been metabolized, assimilated. And I love the whole idea of you working on giving birth to something new that feels joyful to you while you go through this spiritual practice and assignment of taking care of your husband until he reaches a point where, he's either no longer conscious of who's around him or he passes on. So, you don't want to put your life on hold waiting for his because we never know when we're going to go.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. And what you said about, self-care is, I'm seeing just how huge it is because I have to take care of myself
Yes.
and I have health issues, not surprisingly. And because if I don't, who's gonna, it's gonna be a
That's right.
burden on my kids and stuff. So
Good.
that feels like it's the priority.
Yes. Yeah.
And so your Zoom calls have been so wonderful, and your books I read, I have, and your newsletters I wait for every week. So I wanted to know that.
I appreciate that so much. I know people write to me and say that, and I read everything that comes to me, and I'm so appreciative of that. I feel like I feel the connection, you know, and that is just really special. So thank you,
thank
Diane.
You.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see. And by the way, she's like, oh, I used to be an author. No, you are an author. You've published 11 books. That's more books than I've written. Like, are you kidding me? You know what you're doing. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Arlene, are you still there? I'm asking you to unmute. Maybe not. Let's go to Kathy. There we go. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you, Cheryl?
I'm good. How are you?
I know Kathy's a common name, so I wasn't sure it was me at first.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
yeah,
right.
But I guess I had started decluttering. I don't like clutter. I don't work well in it. I tend to really work best when things are organized.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of in a dilemma because I start, you know, decluttering. I had a lot of health issues last year and I've had ongoing back trouble, but I'm doing much better. I'm in PT for 7 months and it's working well. So my problem now is because all the time I couldn't do anything the last year. I'm like the whole time I was like, you know, like looking around going, I want to do this. I want to do that. So I'm trying to figure out how to pace myself, but my number one thing.
Oh, it's just that.
I do something?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Kathy.
Oh,
sorry.
I'm
yep.
sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
So the number one problem I'm having is I am a very sentimental person and everyone in the family knows that.
Yep.
So I tend to have a really tough time. One of my sisters passed about 12 years ago and we were especially close. And when she knew she was going to pass, she gave me all the family photos that were my mom's
mm-hmm.
and said, I know you'll take good care of them. And they're in this big bucket. And of course, that's so hard. Like, that's one thing I keep thinking, what can I do to share those with my other four other siblings
mm-hmm.
And still and on, but knowing that she said that to me, I feel like I should still keep them.
Yeah. So that's your mind telling you that, Kathy.
Yeah.
Do you suspect your sisters on the other side, you know, like paying attention to whether or not you've still got that box of photographs?
Probably not.
Probably not, right?
She didn't like clutter either.
Well, there you go. So I would say one of two things, Kathy. Either you invite your siblings over for an afternoon and you tell them specifically you want them to come. You'll provide the treats, the wine, the tea, whatever. And you want to go through this box and have them take as much as they can because you're going to be getting rid of whatever's left over.
Okay, good idea.
And or if you really want to give yourself a break, choose the sibling who's either choose the sibling that you know doesn't really like clutter either and give them the whole tub and ask them to handle that as a project.
Okay, I like that. That sounds good to me. And lastly, this is just a share. If you have any ideas in the group, I want to write a book as well. And I know the last woman said she's written many published. So I'm still actively working in real estate, but kind of slowing down in that career. And I keep being tugged about writing a book. If you later, not to take up too much time, have any suggestions of somebody that I might coach with for that?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me back up first and say, Kathy, I should have addressed this right in the beginning when you said, hold on, I just have to cough.
Oh, sure.
When you said, I'm looking all around and I'm seeing, I could do this, I could do that, I could do this. I want you to go back and re-listen to the Zoom gatherings on nervous system regulation.
Okay.
Because it sounds like the way you get dysregulated is in a sympathetic way where you get mobilized. And one of the ways we start to stress ourselves out, which prevents us from eliminating clutter, is our thoughts, our perception and our thoughts start happening too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So the body gets revved up in some way, because the body's usually where the dysregulation begins. And then as you start looking around, like when I catch myself doing that, Kathy, now I say to myself, no, 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 sweetheart, stay where you are. You can do one thing at a time and only the thing that's in front of you right now.
Okay. That's helpful.
Yeah, that piece is really important, Kathy, because I would say to you, the greatest contribution you'll make to writing a book is first eliminating the clutter in your life.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. I have more to do before I can do that.
Yeah, and just trust that as you're eliminating clutter, you can say to your mind, I would like you to work on this book idea while I'm eliminating clutter. And I'll come back to you at the end of the day. And if you have any notes for me, you can let me know at 5 o'clock this afternoon. It's called giving your brain a vacation. I wrote about it in Life Makeovers. It's a technique that actually works, where you tell your mind to work on a project while you're doing something else, and then just go back and jot down any notes at a designated time. You could do that about the book, but right now, Kathy, I want to see you focus on getting regulated, calming the body down, not worrying about a million different things. And I would encourage you to start saying, I used to be a sentimental person. Now I love clarity and clutter-free living instead.
I like that because that's how I want to be. I
Yeah.
want to, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome, honey. You're very welcome.
Take
Okay.
care.
Yeah, you too. You too. One more. Hey, Julianne. Hi there. There you go.
Hey.
Hi.
First of all, total fangirl. I have
Oh,
followed you to several conferences and I've read all your books. So
wow.
super
Thank you.
exciting.
Thank you.
So why I have a problem with addressing the decluttering is right as I was empty nesting and feeling the responsibilities of children coming off, my younger brother died in a tragic, unexpected accident. And so I look at, so I know death is here. It can happen at any minute. I want to try to enjoy life. A lot of my clutter represents possible futures of what I want to do as I'm exploring who I am out of the role of being a mom. And yet it's all overwhelming and it makes me very sad and maybe resentful of getting rid of things too soon.
When did your brother die?
He died in 2023.
Okay, not that long ago. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, it's almost like I want to say, what are you running from, Julianne? Like,
Responsibility.
what does that mean? What does that mean?
The keeper of the family traditions, the family holidays, the family in touch for both my extended or my current family.
You've been the one doing that. You've been
Yeah.
the,
I'm the
yeah.
one that runs our family practice. So a lot of what I want to do just sits there calling to me.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So you can get a hit every now and then when you think about doing something in the future, but
Yes.
that prevents you from actually doing something right now. Do you have children? Oh, yeah. How many children do you have?
Three girls.
Three girls. And do you have any remaining siblings?
Yep. I have two additional siblings.
Okay. And how old are your girls?
26, 25, and 21.
And are they out of the house?
One is currently before she heads to med school, but yes.
All right, great. I wonder what it would be like for you to get together with your daughters and tell them that you would like to resign as the keeper of the family traditions for the next year. And what would happen if they, and how could they help you do that? How do you imagine that would land?
I would feel like a failure as a mom.
Okay, that's about you. How do you think it would land with the girls?
No, I think they would rise to the occasion.
So, this is an opportunity we have, Julianne, to educate the next generation about what it means to live consciously, intentionally. What a gift to your daughters to be able to say to them, I love all of you, and I'm entering this new phase of my life. And this new phase is now a time for me. And what I'd like to do is, I'd like to relieve myself of as much responsibility as I can over the next year while I explore what's next for me. But I feel like I'd be a failure as a mom, which is just your mind playing tricks on you, by the way. I feel like I'd be a failure as a mom and that I'd really let all of you down. So I thought I would come to you to have this conversation because I'd love for you to help me figure out a way to let go of this responsibility because I need to really honor. I mean, that's a gift your brother gave you in his passing was the recognition that we're not here forever. It's you're not meant to be putting your life on hold constantly. And I do have a friend of mine. I remember when she was always the keeper of the family traditions. Everybody came to her house for the holidays, you know. And I remember when she got to the point was like, enough already. First of all, my family's dysfunctional. So I've got to host these crazy people. I do all the cooking. I do all the, you know, it's like, no. So I would tell your daughters that I would love to pass on this tradition of being the keepers of the family to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, like, let's just, can we figure that out together? Because mm-hmm. I want this time for me now. I think that's a good place to start, Julianne.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. So much of the wisdom years, I mean, we should probably do a Zoom gathering just on letting go of responsibility. Mm-hmm. So much, I'm writing that down. Letting go of responsibility because, and I know I've written about this before because I'm the oldest and I grew up with this sense of being responsible for everything. Not that I am. I mean, I have sisters who are much more responsible when it came to the family stuff. But we take on responsibility in ways that we don't really, we need to relinquish as we get older if we want to have our lives back. Mm-hmm. And better that your daughters learn through your modeling of this, by the way. Kids, I don't care how old they are, learn by what we do, not by what we say. That's a fact. So modeling this idea that in your empty nest, which I would actually, don't even call it empty nest, I would call it like this new exciting adventure. You know, this the next exciting stage of your life, you really want, you're asking for their help in relinquishing some responsibility here. That's a great form of clutter to let go of, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And I love, especially because I have daughters,
yes,
that I'm creating a generation,
yep,
doesn't self-sacrifice as their baseline.
What better gift can a mother give her children than that? You talk about being a failure, like, oh yeah, you're going to fail as a mother because you don't really want to do Thanksgiving dinner, when in fact you could go to a whole other level of being an extraordinary mother by sitting them down and having an honest, vulnerable, intimate conversation about what it means to be a woman at this time in your life who has dedicated her life to everybody else but herself. I don't want you three doing that. That's why I'm having this conversation. That ought to make up for anything else you let go of that you might think is a failure as a mother, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I can see the wheels turning in your little... good. You'll have to let us know what happens, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Julianne. Okay, everybody. Thank you once again for joining me. There will be 5 people chosen by Terry afterwards. Terry's just really good at this. And I will see those 5 on Monday at noontime for a group coaching call. And you can bring to that call whatever you want. But I would say, let's, you know, you might want to like continue this conversation about clutter so that you can free up your life. And I'll look forward to seeing you again on the next Zoom gathering that should be happening sometime soon. All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll have the recording and the chat up in the next couple of days. You'll find it on the website at CherylRichardson.com. Thank you all very much. Have a beautiful day. Bye.